Okay, guys, I think we're going to just plow on to the next little part of it all. Hopefully you've had a little bit of a caffeine kick and I'll keep you all awake and stuff like that. But yeah, back over to you. Mm.
So we're here some more, and David's obviously got some points to make. And then we thought off that, really try and look at these. We've got ideas, but we also want it to be a kind of a level open playing field so that people are shaping where we go from here. I think that is going to be one of the big questions. We've obviously got a desire to do stuff here, but what do we do in the follow-up is another one. And if there are any places, you know, stuff will obviously have to be pulled together. So thinking about how we might kind of keep a finger on it, organising people and pulling them, you know, and just offering that service around it as well. But David, you...
Right, yes, I mean, it's only really more kind of, maybe it's just really going to feed into that, really, because... And just sort of summarising what we're hearing, I think that some of the stuff that Marvin was talking around radical financial mechanisms, like, you know, starting to share our wealth and things like that, I think we should have a serious look at that. I mean, I think that's number one. I think those are the longest term things to sort out, but as John said, this may be a 10-year issue. And actually, we don't need to reset up like Caroline did 20 years ago, the debt advice centre. We need to do something, I think, different. And it's partly about the sign we give as much as actually the impact we have, I think. We need to help people to start modelling a different way. And we have examples from the Islamic, Asian, Jamaican communities of different ways of being that actually in one sense, detach us from some of the fear and all those kind of things. So I think that's one thing. Secondly, I think it sounds like ISR is already some way towards this, but about 10 years ago, I previously worked for ISR, for people that know. We had a volunteer who was passionate about drugs. His daughter had been a very serious addict and that sort of thing. And he basically set up a system of people. One person in every church. I mean, he probably over time trained over 250 people. He got the best, you know, the drugs agencies came in and various people came in. And in a half-day session, they got enough information that they could become the signposter in their church. So that it wasn't they didn't know nothing, but they could just, so whether it was in the community or someone they knew, they would be the person that got referred to on drugs. I mean, drugs... some extent gone off the boil in terms of its sort of prevalence perhaps, but I think the model of that is a very interesting one, because it's not us trying to now set up local debt advice in every church and all that, but we actually then help people to think about that. Related to that, I think, is something around Eileen's, something of Eileen's idea, is the fact that actually huge number of secular groups use our buildings, and I think that person, or a couple of people in every church, would have the relation, could develop relationships with the mother and toddler group or whatever. And so that actually when there's an issue in those groups, and I've got very good evidence that those groups are places where you can do significant pastoral work, but they are not people who are going to ever walk through the church on a Sunday. So I think there's that way in which we can help our local communities. I think to back that up, I wonder whether what training we need. I think we can get away with some half-day training possibly for a lot of people, but whether we want to look at something more significant around this area, Paul Hazelman is another member of the BCAN executive, and he's been doing for several years, I think it's about 8 or 10 session training for helping people on the street and, you know, working with homeless people, that sort of thing. Something like that may be quite interesting to do, and therefore people get trained up significantly more in various issues around this. I think we particularly need to look at this time the relationship between mental health and these issues, because that may be the niche bit that we can do, whereas we are not we're not going to be the CAB or the debt advice this time, but can we actually operate in an area which some other people have said around the chaplaincy, more of a chaplaincy model, but a knowledgeable chaplaincy model, I suppose. And finally, I think we need to encourage people to get into places like CAB and volunteer, be trained there and volunteer, because actually their workload at the moment is incredible. And I think we, as churches, we can collectively support that. I would like to unlock the skills of the churches that you referred to and all that. And I think we really need to think, how could we do that skill share? I think that we could offer that. If we could offer that, I think that would be amazing. And I don't think it'd be a huge amount of work. But we need a really interesting way to do it. And I haven't thought of it yet.
Can I just... the point you were making about the relationship between mental health and
I think that what we might pick up on are some of the effects of the recession, so people feeling stressed and all those kind of things, and actually training and helping churches, some of the things, you know, we're already sort of planning, but sort of the more extreme end of things, is that we help church people to feel confident in dealing with people who are showing signs of extreme stress or whatever like that. And I don't think at the moment there is a very good currency. People tend to walk away from those kind of people. To what extent can we, in a generic way, talk? I mean, and we've got to try and, you know, we've got to do a bit of this. It's got to be, I think, a little bit hidden in one sense, because not hidden, but
discreet.
Yeah. Well, it's just that people will be frightened as soon as they say we want you to start working with people who've got severe mental health issues, or in, you know, I think can we to develop this is going back to a, you know, long term BCAM passion around can we get better pastoral care. But pastoral care in this issue is around how you work with, treat, help, support people with mental health issues, particularly at the moment, those driven by the recession and anxiety, I think.
Well, I think that leads very well into Mark's next little bit, which should be about more practical for other people.
Well, yeah, I mean, I would say on that... Gosh, I would...
It's a tuba playing in the background.
I'm positive there'd be resources to pull into that, the mental health training. I mean, we know, because Kate's done, in Leicester, they're befriending Screen, the churches have done a lot of stuff up in Leicester. And I was with a colleague that I sit on a panel with up in London, and he was telling me about, and he's in Leicester actually, and he was telling me about interfaith groups as well, getting really organised. Around the effects of depression. I mean, he works on the area of his work is on the relationship between Christians and Muslims and Jews particularly. And he was saying that they'd kind of come together quite well around that. And I'm sure that in my employer, which is NHS Bristol, as it was PCT, we would see a fantastic opportunity to invest, as it were, in some training, if you know, because the effects would be multiple, as it were. So certainly from my side, which is public health, which is about how can we do small things here that prevent the big things later on, that would be a good place of intervening, I guess. That would be the same then. You have that view similarly.
Well, I know somebody in Clevedon, she may already have been in touch with you, Sarah Robinson, who does mental health first aid training.
That's the
and
training.
In fact, she's free to know some of the churches. I don't know if she can. Yes, she said she couldn't. She said she'd do Clevedon, but she said not to the West. But anyway, apart from the for free bits, but yes, what I've thought is that, you know, someone's at PCT should be paying, should pay for mental health first aid, for mental health awareness training to the churches, because as you say, for a small initial outlay, the ripple knock-on effects would be huge. So I'll be interested to know whether Bristol PCT stump up for the training.
Well, we would, because my team are mental health first aid trained. So I've got four of the community development workers in the network I manage have all done mental health first aid training.
So would they be paid to come and do that then?
Yeah, it'd be their day job.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
So, assuming that's how Hope's place is, can I just tell me about what's planned for Hope? You were talking about...
But Hope's have that expertise as well, don't you?
So. No, some things that we had got with talking that we could do with the whole Minds and the Mental Health Initiative.
Yeah.
We could do training for churches.
Yeah.
In that, using NHS resources.
Yeah. What would be involved in that, in putting something like that together? Is it a day's training, 2 days, half a day?
Now, see, I only ask my head guys for the headlines. So yeah. I don't know how long the mental health first day. But I think that when they deliver it, it's a day.
That's for a super delegation, isn't it?
It's 12 hours.
12, right.
So how you divide that up is up to you. You could have 3 half days or 2 full days, you know, 3 4-hour sessions or 2 6-hour sessions.
And to make it viable, For churches to if we were sort of to circulate that information to churches to say, look, if you can get a group of.
I'm trying now. So I am on thin ice here. I think you're looking at a group of maybe 12. You know, not a whole room because,
okay.
a lot. You know, it's quite detailed.
Yeah.
Training, and
yeah.
it's not about being able to diagnose schizophrenia either.
Yeah.
It's all the things we've said,
yeah.
reducing the discomfort by giving information, helping individuals to reduce their own sense of discomfort in these areas, and giving people a sense of confidence that if you are sitting with someone who is beginning to talk about stuff that makes the hair on the back of your neck, just to realise that all you have to do is just take a deep breath and just sit and continue to listen, because what we all need if we're all having strange thoughts is that somebody will sit and listen and not get frightened,
sure.
and also not trot out well-meaning platitudes either. Maybe be a little bit knowledgeable. What the training delivers, it does give you some information about what's available locally, so that you can signpost people on. It's not about delivering therapy. I mean, individuals who do this mental health first aid are not able to.
No.
But they are. It is about listening and having confidence in yourself, as we do, that actually just be able to, if I'm having thoughts and thinking, some days I get up and I just don't want to live, and I just have visions of myself, falling on my sword, which is what I do, actually, frequently. If I tell somebody that, I don't want them to go screaming and phoning the pastor straight. It's about knowing. So what people will end up with is just having a sense of confidence in themselves that they can come alongside somebody else. And also knowing that the reason it's called first aid is knowing maybe when something's a bit more serious. And so knowing how to distinguish when the individual really does need help. But knowing how to enable them, empower them, rather than you, because of course people hate the power being taken out of their own hands. So if you say for the minister, so that's what the training delivers, and that's just this training. NSF have training, Mind have training. There are lots of mental health groups do training, don't they, Marvin? And so I'm just plugging one provider, but it doesn't have to be just that one.
And what about Hope's Place? Obviously it's your expertise as well. You said there'd be some training, just saying if the NHS could, that would be NHS, if we invested in that, you'd be able to deliver that.
Yes. I mean, I think the interesting idea, I mean, all the training that we've done so far has very much been advertised, and then people have come to it if they've felt like it. And we've been exploring a bit ways of, I say, making people come. I don't mean it like that, but I mean to try and be more targeted, because I mean sometimes we think, although people who come are interested, that very often the people that maybe you need to get to are the pastoral staff in the church or even the minister, and those aren't always the people that want to come and
got time to come.
All got time. But on the other hand, that's what you're dealing with all the time.
Yeah.
Then you ought to be equipping yourself to deal with it properly.
Yeah.
That at the end of it's the bottom line. And I mean, we do this Bristol nights and we're out on the streets and Bristol on Friday night, and it's amazing the number of people, or dictators as well, who are alienated from church because of a pastoral mess.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we ought, as churches, we actually ought to be listening to this. Because that's, I don't know, 60-70% of people say, I used to go to church, but this happened, and it's a pastoral cock-up. And, for people who are in charge of people in churches, saying, I haven't got time to go to a day's training, that's a good enough, actually. Don't get me on this one, I feel very, very strongly about it. Because that's...
Well, one of the other issues is that pastoral care is now being more and more delivered by lay people rather than the trained pastor. So the pastor may have had some very significant training, but in bigger churches, but also in very small churches, there is not the time, because that clergy person may be covering several churches. They are not going to do the hands-on pastoral care anymore. So that's the other danger, that the quality or quality control.
I think wanting to invite people who've got a real interest or passion people and to come and do this. How would it be rolled out from the NHS to the churches? That would be my question. obviously you can do stuff through, you can advertise through the diocese or through Hope Space or whatever, but there's a lot of different people.
Isn't there a network of Bristol churches?
I think a lot of it needs face-to-face work, doesn't it? Mm. I mean, that's the reality. It needs that those of us who feel strongly about it say that we will go around to the church and we will try and build up, you know, build up link people in churches who encourage.
The signposting process sounds very interesting.
Because interestingly enough as well, there's a new, what they call stepped care in mental health. The idea is that rather than just you're ill and then you hit crisis and then you go into hospital, the idea is that the government wants to increase access to early interventions to stop people going up to crisis. And listening to the organisation that have won the contract in Bristol, it's called Turning Point. One of the things they were saying, actually, sometimes an early intervention will be you need some debt advice. A GP said a really brilliant thing to me, actually. He said, if a young mum comes to me who's single, in dilapidated housing or in poverty and says she's depressed, antidepressants is not the answer. You know what I mean? In some sense, the circumstances determine that. And so one of those early interventions is in some sense, you know, helping appreciate that context and, you know, and what those interventions are. But there are plenty of networks. I mean, Love Bristol ran a couple of years ago, didn't it? And that was huge, North Bristol to South Bristol connection between churches. Yeah. There's the Bristol Black Council of Churches. I call it my home church, the church I grew up in through Andy Padgett. They have the Russian church meet there, the Filipino church meet there. There's Dornicia Palmer, who's obviously very well connected through prayer patrol into the churches all around. So it could be, and maybe on a practical level, the thing is to set a venue, could be here, set a time and let people know months ahead of time and to say, these are the times when this is going to be done, and then really be kind of drilling people, drilling people towards it.
Can I add a couple of things? Pick up on what David was saying. There's a network of churches together in Greater Bristol, which is not in particularly good shape at the moment, but there is work going on to try and reorganise that and get that slightly more effective. And part of that would be to look at how that network translates alongside other networks to really help mobilise. The thing goes back to that threefold capacity, confidence, and resources that often local churches need that just to put on training if you haven't convinced people that it is somehow relevant to what they do.
Mm.
And that the relevance to early mental health prevention about network creation, pastoral support, and being friendly with people is what lots of churches do. But three things to connect. One is, you mentioned chaplains earlier. With the network of chaplains we have are thinly stretched. And there's some who are full-time paid chaplains, but actually the growing number are volunteer chaplains, either clergy or lay people. And we're about to start a significant process of trying to advertise and recruit to get chaplains in a wider set of workplaces, offices and others. So that's something really keen to sort of work with others. And the people, in fact we're running a taster session, I've got the date on, I'll get it on the BCAN website.
Yeah.
I become increasingly aware it's a role that a lot of people can be nurtured into and provide really, really careful and good care. The second is an initiative which is sort of trying to move its way towards life. The idea of trying to look at how we can network churches around recession issues, around advice sessions. So trying to look at whether we can bring in training from CAB and others to be able to say to a number of pilot churches, if you set up a drop-in, what locally you can do is provide tea, coffee, hospitality, friendly listening ears. In the week of that, look at providing people who are trained in signposting, which is down a tier from the sort of experts' debt advice. And our staff have been on that this week to try it out, looking at how we can roll that out. And then if we can hopefully buy into some specialist advice, so that we can pilot across Bristol, you know, 8 or 9 church-based advice sessions that have some ownership locally. And then have a huge connection to all the listening skills and mental health prevention work. So that's two. The third, which is something that came out of the Evangelical Alliance Forum for Change Day, which was goes back to the volunteer connection that David was talking about. And it came from, local estate, Big Bull, business breakfast. But the idea of trying to create a clearinghouse of resources and volunteers across Bristol churches.
Mm.
There were three or four of us met to say, you know, is this something you can do through a website or something fairly low level, not too bureaucratic, that's a place where you could post, this is things we can do and this things you need. And we haven't got much further than that, really. It's just something that we really need to widen. But just that there is a little bit of interest around. So three initiatives, but keen to develop all three of them.
That last one is interesting. One of the things I always regret not doing, you know, I felt it came to me at the moment and I didn't do it, was in the 90s, I thought, why don't I set up like almost an agency of mentors for young people? And now they're all over the place.
Yeah.
But just the place where you just go to churches and you say, we need mentors. You know, you kind of skill and equipment, you put the criteria down of what you're looking for. But if you're willing to give some time to invest in the life of someone else, and maybe if that's what that clearinghouse kind of comes up like, you know, a kind of a pool of resource.
Could be.
Mm.
Well, you say they're all over the place.
Well, reach, yeah. They're trying to set them up where you can go and find yourself a mentor for someone. Maybe we need more. So that's a good. So just conscious on the top. That's. There's a lot. I mean, maybe what we do is we write it up and then kind of share ideas and try and come back. And we've touched in that pastoral stuff as well about the need to be, you know, to be skilled and to be sharing those skills. We do have to be there, but to be there with skill is good too, isn't it? To have some of the practical things. If you've got any thoughts on how to make that happen, I suppose the clearinghouse would be potentially one thing, is it? Or any thoughts on, because I suppose I kind of see a couple of ways. One is about helping local churches work in with their congregation and in their area, so that it's not just about saying, well, here's the service, send your community to this service of the wealthy church and they'll deal with stuff for you, but equipping local churches to do work. And I kind of, maybe if I'm thinking about it in the right way, seeing another strata where actually we are, there is a space for pooling stuff and doing stuff together for the city, as it were.
Do you know what I'm thinking would be useful in terms of a practical response from today? Things are happening anyway. You know, Woody's is doing something, Redlands, things, and the ISR. What I would find really useful is to have a place, I don't, it could be virtual reality, although I'm not great for doing stuff online, I'm much better at doing things like this. Every 2 months or so, if there was a place where you knew you could meet other people who were doing stuff, because it will develop. Whatever is happening in Henley is going to continue growing, and we could all come back and talk about where things are going and just feed off each other. Because that I'm not saying this is the only answer, but I think that is very useful. And also, if we could publicise it a bit more. I mean, I'm just gobsmacked that there are more people here today, because I know there are loads of churches throughout Bristol that are doing little things, whether it's just having a notice board up in the foyer, swapping skills. And I think most of the churches in Bristol are already thinking about it, so maybe we just need to get it out there a bit more. So that would be one definite. Well, I would find it useful to come back again in about 2 weeks' time and find out where everybody else is at and get ideas from other people. Would anybody else?
I think there's something within that thing which is one of the most important things we need to do, which is tell the stories of success. To just find ways to tell saying what's going on, because people get encouraged by that.
Yeah, exactly. It fires you up, doesn't it?
Yeah. Just sharing that.
Yeah, I'm coming on from that as well. It's very, I say, it's fashionable, it's in line. I mean, lots of church stuff nowadays, people, you know, something's happened to you, and people tend to go, you know, can set up support with work in that area of ministry. Maybe, it would be quite interesting to, if we were going to advertise for like a collection of people. I mean, maybe we should be advertising, you know, have you suffered this problem or that problem or that problem? Have you recovered from it? And could you come and help other people? I mean, that's a different way of looking at it, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And maybe that might provoke a response. And actually, I've had one more idea. Can I give my other idea?
please.
What about, I was reading in the paper about one of these time banks which have like alternative currency.
Mm.
What about something like that?
There is a whole village, isn't there? There's a whole village down in the southeast who've launched their own currency.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
Tottenham. Trying to start that with
Tottenham. Tottenham has the Tottenham pound.
Oh, it's in
Tottenham, is it? Yeah. I think
there are several along. There are now, yeah. That's one of the biggest.
But what could we not have a church's time bank?
The Bristol Buck.
The Bristol what?
The Bristol Buck. Interestingly
enough, it was a similar idea. We when I was at Vineyard, it's more in the home group than the major, but we spoke about this in our home group, thinking, can we do an audit of everything that we have? So there was one guy in our home group, he had loads of power tools. Yeah. Another person in our home group was Tim. He's teaches history up at Bristol Uni, and he's overseeing admissions for that, you know, first access. And we were all saying, you know, I like writing letters of complaint. If you talk to parking services, you'll find me on there. Now, we're all saying, what could we offer? So Tim was saying, actually, practically around the church, what he could offer is university admissions advice and help with applications and things like that. John was saying, he's got all these power tools. They're in his shed. Don't go and buy yourself a power sander. Just borrow mine. You know, and saying, what do we offer? Clearly, there are limits on that. If you're an accountant, maybe you're offering four hours a month accountancy as part of your tithe in terms of your time share, because otherwise the danger is it can get too much abusive and begin to implode. But that time bank, there were a few of them. There was one in Barton Hill, wasn't there, and, just recently. I don't know if it's still going.
There's one for the Iran refugee community, or there was. So that needs to be within a community focus.
It does.
But that's a huge possibility.
I mean, I guess.
Well, it could be. It could do. It in the first instance, be manageable. It'd be community. But can you imagine as well what it'd be like if Radio Bristol in the morning, you know, there is a bank of church skills available to people in the city. You know, obviously you have to meet a criteria, but they, you know, someone in Hartcliffe needs a 2 hours of financial advice, and maybe there's no one in their community, but they click on the. And someone will come and give them to, you know.
And you see, the thing is, the churches could start us off, but it shouldn't remain church-based, because local communities want that to happen. I mean, we've heard about Totnes doing it, and who knows, I mean, maybe it was a church that started in Totnes, but local communities are just wanting organisers to organise this kind of thing for the community. Mm. So I agree, very often churches are well placed to start it off, but then we should let it slip out. I think we should let it slip out of our control and let the local community take it over if they want to. And we've got the resources.
Yeah, I agree. The more we hold on to things and just say it's church, the weaker they become.
But I think, and even when I'm certainly in my mind, when we're thinking about local church anyway, you're thinking about within the congregation, but you're also thinking about the community that they sit in. And then when I talk about cross-city, I'm just thinking, yeah. And again, it's dangerous. It's the wishful thinking, but that's okay right now, I think. It's, you know, that, you know, maybe in that time bank as a central place. Again, then you start talking about needing to take coordinators on and stuff like that. But, you know, there's 50 hours of financial advice available to anyone in Bristol in need. And they can click in and have an hour of that, because we've got 20 financial advisors who have each said, I'm going to give 2 hours each. That works out at 40, but I'm going to give 2 hours each to financial advice to anyone who comes through your process who needs it. And you know, there are all sorts of practical challenges around that, but it just, you know, just a kind of a thought.
Well, we, as I said, we'd try and work up at least a proposal for a web-based. Way of doing that. I'm very happy for any ideas. Struggling a bit.
Do you have people who could set up the website?
Probably.
You've got
someone.
I think.
You do have some web skills, but it's how it works and how you.
Well, exactly. Because I've thought about it. I'm thrilled to hear you. You talk about it, because I've had this idea as well, but it's, I don't know how to, I wouldn't even know how to begin to create a web page and how to make it work well, because it's got to be slick. You can't have people.
Yeah, and I think it's that overview of process and longevity and sustainability, which are key kind of like factors in starting something like that. Mm. I mean, as somebody who's kind of involved in a local church on a daily basis, I have questions about, okay, how do you vet people? How do you ensure the safety for people involved? Are people see up? Do you know, all that kind of
stuff?
Well,
there's that too. I mean, the people bit, but even the IT skills to create the whole web thing that would make
which
it
work.
The point is with anything that you start, to always have that sense of, okay, where's it going? How is this going to work? What are the implications? Mm-hmm. Not to start with just well-meaning things, but actually, if we're committed to stuff. Let's be committed to stuff.
Project planning.
Yeah.
We could do
the
volunteer stuff around it.
Okay.
Let's talk
more.
CRBs and stuff.
You know, you don't want to be in the situations where you run, somebody else runs into a street, a stranger on the street, and said, well, actually, yeah, you're the problem, you're the person that the pastoral problem, you know, 20 years before. Well, do you know what I mean? I think let's do stuff and let's do stuff well. But let's think it through what the implications are.
Can I say something? And we can come back to this point, but I just want to be able to say the public spending is going to be slashed over the next 10 years, as we all know. And the implications of that are that local councils are going to be slashing their culture and the NHS. So what worries me is the realisation that people who are most vulnerable, so the elderly and people stuck at home, all the things that they have at the moment, what little they have at the moment, like Meals on Wheels and people going in to wash and dress themselves, my feeling is all of that's going to go by the wayside over the next 10 years. And we don't have to do anything about this right now, not in 2009, but I think over the next few years, in 5 years' time, the challenge for the churches will be how to look after the most vulnerable in our community. And there's a whole area, you know, going back centuries, whether it was the churches who responded to, who looked after the elderly and made sure that people, that the elderly had food parcels and stuff. I think we're going to be there, well, maybe not food parcels, but it's...
I think a lot of that needs to come back to the government understanding the need to build community again.
Well,
because a lot of, in the past, a lot of those neighbours, that's just, you know, that's gone. And so all this sort of well-being and working through local communities has to work towards filling that void by helping people to connect with those around them again.
Yeah.
And in fact, it's shown statistically, if people who are part of faith communities have more resilience, I think extending that currency or capital, we used to use horrifically economic language for it, but extending that beyond the church walls could, in light of those cutbacks, could be a crucial thing to equip the churches for. And that takes us back to that pastoral confidence befriending. Well, I mean, it's what we're supposed to be doing anyway, isn't it? Being salt and light in community. But
the thing is, without wanting to be overtly evangelical about it, I mean, it's quite often when if you help people at that point of need, you do get a chance to talk about your faith.
Mm.
I mean, I know that wouldn't be the reason for doing it, but I mean, it is a way of spreading the gospel, isn't it?
Mm. The other stuff for me, in the sense of that, I'd agree with you from which of where we're going with the public spending, but it's where the church is as a whole at the moment, in some sense, is more fragmented than it was the last time around. And actually, we've got to find new ways of working together to not pretend we, you know, there could be overarching bodies that there aren't at the moment, but finding ways of connecting and delivering across church boundaries.
Mm.
Lots of churches are very small, and if we just have a sort of thousand flower approach, we'll be all over the place. But I think there's some big challenges that the church, in its biggest sense, has got an opportunity to really respond.
Is there scope? Sorry, Dave.
I've got to say that I agree with that, but I'm very concerned that we don't then say, actually, it's because we have chosen a very low tax economy. We have one of the lowest income taxes in the world. you know, actually at some point you've got to say, well, welfare should not be dismantled because it's so inefficient to have 1,000 churches doing Meals on Wheels. It sometimes welfare needs to stay as a corporate activity. And I think until the recession, the bank problem hit, the Conservative Party in particular, as the next party of power, was talking very differently, and they were understanding now that they had a responsibility in community. And it's really sad that actually we could have had both these agendas working together very well, and then sadly now we may have the dismantling without the rebuilding, I think. Mm-hmm. And we may be in a residual position of having to do an awful lot, mm-hmm, as churches, but I think that's a sadness. So I think we were building towards a consensus that was saying the 80s was absolutely rubbish for society and vulnerability, and the 90s was no, you know, and Labour had not done that better. But I think there was something going there, and now it's all just gone, and now we're into a very, very bad place, I think. Sorry, sometimes you've got to look at the global.
I think the approach of Britain philosophy they had is still on the agenda.
It's still there, is it?
So, yeah. Because one of our major researchers has just been appointed as head of that.
Oh, I see.
But Marvin was talking about doing some political, like in the elections, to try and draw the churches together over political issues. And, well, he wouldn't exactly say that, did you? But it was the gist of it. And why couldn't we do that as a sort of second prong to all this as well? To actually, you know, for electing MPs, why can't we, as a city, make our views known to the voice of a group of people?
They'll always turn up. We ran a, I work on, or I volunteer at Ojima Radio. I was looking for Sunday morning guests, yeah, as you know. And we have councillors on most weeks. But just a couple of weeks ago, we ran a local election question time. And basically, we just said, we're broadcasting this time. We got question time. I wrote to all the five of the parties. We didn't invite BNP, which is a point of discussion. But we invited the five parties that were running in the three inner city wards, and they turned up. Peter Hammond, deputy leader of the council until Lib Dems took over. John Rogers, Lib Dem councillor for Ashley, and Peter Abraham, who's Conservative, been, you know, big hitters for each party to turn up. And we ran this on community radio, and it was fantastic. And I said in my church, Hope, you know, if in the lead up to the elections, we just said to the candidates, we are running an event for our church people and communities to question time with the candidates, they will turn up, because they would not turn up if the others are going to turn up. So there is a chance to kind of leverage and find out where they are and make sure that, you know, the concerns and the questions are raised. Definitely.
And then we need to get a good turnout, because there's no good in coming to six people, is it? But if they bring 600 people queuing up to get at the door, then it's forced to be reckoned with.
Which comes back to your point that you know, pulling the churches together. And maybe we need to resurrect it and strengthen it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe, I mean, it struck me that maybe there's almost scope for what I'm doing in mental health. So when I first come to mental health, I'm not from a mental health background. I'm more kind of a busybody background. But when I came to the PCT, I said to someone, could you draw me a diagram of how mental health services work? And they went, because I don't say chaos, but people don't know what's going on. Yeah. So someone wants to start a service and they're desperately trying to work out how they fit with other services, and no one really knows. So I'm saying, well, how can we expect patients to understand their care pathway and what's going on with them if people running the business don't know what's going on? And it almost seems like what we said is, okay, let's put a date in a diary 6-7 months away, and we tell everyone who works on mental health, be here on this date, on this time, we're going to work out who's doing what, where, with who. Clear the decks. Right? And it seems like almost actually maybe what we're talking about with the church in Bristol is maybe to do something similar. This isn't a happy capri come make you feel good service. This is like a church business, although business is a horrible word for it, but this is about getting the churches together to say, what's our role in this city, and get the leadership and you know, in the room, just to say, what, you know, what do we want to be? You know, what are we doing? Are we just bumbling around, bouncing around off events, or are we on the front foot, trying to take charge of the agenda? Martin Luther King had a great line, letter from Birmingham jail. He said, for too long the church has been a taillight in social change when we should be a headlight. you know, I recommend that letter.
Did there used to be Bristol Celebration once a month in the
Council?
I never went to it. Yes.
Bob Scott Cook, didn't he?
That's right. So, we could, in October time, set a date way in advance, we could organise a big event in the Council House, in the big auditorium, and in between now and then, that's all the churches in Bristol, and lean on people heavily. So you'd want the figurehead of each church, so the minister, whatever they are, and tell them to bring two other people along with them. And just to try to get the message out there that there's something going on, and they'll be doing it already.
Oh, I'm sorry.
They'll be doing it.
The Irish Open or what?
Closed.
Here you go.
Take care.
That's the type of thing.
Maybe we should have a big event.
Yeah, that's the type of thing. I'm scared of the word event because it makes it sound, but it is basically
what's in the box.
Almost summit. Yeah.
I need to understand what's in the box of something like that for both of you. What are you actually saying is the issue that we're trying to gather around? This theme touches a huge number of issues.
Yeah.
I just want to be clear about what. You know, what
would
we be gathering around?
I would tag it to recession.
Okay.
Because I think it's the question of the moment. But within that, I mean, a couple of years ago, I thought it was Abolition 200. And in fact, what I think there's a lesson to learn from this Abolition 200 stuff as well, because I know if you talk to Tim Higgins, Tim was asked to go and see the political leaders during Abolition 200, because Bristol was in a real issue of how do you deal with history? Should we be apologising? Should we not apologise? Yeah. And all this sort of stuff. And no one knew how to negotiate that question. And I thought, well, the church has a model of reconciliation. That's what it's all about. And I don't think we really stepped up to the plate as a church. We did a cathedral service. I helped organise it with Tim, and we said some stuff there. And actually, the feedback we had from that cathedral service was pretty amazing. Even the royals that were there came up after and said that was quite special. But I think, yeah, it is a summit. It's tagged onto recession. It's the question of the moment. And the question is, what are we doing? Are we just bouncing off this thing, or are we forging forward, taking ground, as it were, to use that kind of spiritual language, you know? And it is business. I think summit is the right word in some sense. It's...
Well, the danger of the recession is there's a popular myth that it's a short-term thing. We've already got people saying the downturn's over.
It's not
open. Economic downturn. Growth is starting again. Don't worry, all will be well.
Yeah.
We need to close back a decade of recession. Question mark.
Yeah.
To say, actually, this is about what my hills are in, like, how will we live? And there's big question. So the macro meta stories as well as the practical response.
Yeah, I think
that.
Yeah. So I mean, just to let you know, I mean, there are some ideas coming out around the pastoral. What we've spoken about looking at rolling out training across churches, maybe looking at a couple of people in each church, and there's obviously training on offer with the mental health first aid, and then Hope's Place have training also. But the need to work through the networks of churches, there's ISR, the Love Bristol Network, Bristol Churches Together, Bristol Black Council of Churches, you know, and making sure that people are being touched by that. And the idea, like we said, is to begin just rolling out and equipping of churches across Bristol with some of those skills. I mean, I guess that can go as long as there are resources to roll out the training. So if more than two people from a church come, then it's doable. Practically, one thing I just potted down was potentially an audit of what's already happening, because in Redland Church, that sounds like, you know, really starting to get stuff.
it is a signpost. We're not actually going to be sitting down with people and solving all their problems. We're going to be saying, okay, go and see the Money Welfare Advice Service about this, or go and see this, or whatever.
It's a good, it's a very good model that would be copyable in a lot of churches.
We've, just as the care for the family hat on, that's actually the philosophy that we've done for family workers throughout the country. And we've got about 2,000 of them. We're actually, for family issues, parenting, to be a signpost in their church, pointing people in the direction for that thing. And in one sense, it's a model that is replicable for this whole thing. The challenge, I think, getting some of the stuff that, you know, which is great stuff that you've just illuminated there, is almost sort of ownership, you know, the question of ownership of that, and not in the sense of control and power, but actually just to facilitate.
Facilitation, yeah.
To take that through is the issue.
Yeah.
And I mean, as far as mapping goes, the Buchan group have been trying to map some of the work in London City for the last 4 years, and the challenges, you know, the funding to do it, we've gone through a design of a database, we have to make that happen, but actually if there's somebody out there with the facilities and the wherewithal to make it happen, that's one of the skills that the primary thing.
I mean, for a home for all this stuff, then, as we pull stuff together, obviously there's BCAM, but there are limited resources as well. But we spoke to John, I'm going to put you on the spot, we spoke when we met about, we spoke about recession and what do we do, and ISR's purpose as well. Like that. How does it sit with...
It sits absolutely centrally. Yeah, I think it would be a priority for us.
So can you just remind me, is something social responsibility? What's
the eye? The eye's industry.
And it is social responsibility.
Yeah.
And there was
the
CC bit?
We're stuck with this name, which I wish I could remember. The CC is the Churches, Council for Industry and Social Responsibility.
Oh. And where does the money come from?
Five of the big denominations. So they're Anglicans, Catholics, Methodists, Baptists, and URC. I mean, we're partly a mixture, a network of chaplains, and partly a team spread over Bristol and Swindon, of people engaged in social justice.
Yeah,
social.
I saw Swindon did has had a good meeting already, hasn't it? I saw that. I didn't see what happened after the meeting.
There was another one last week which we didn't get, maybe two. Okay. But this is, again, it's the start of doing some of this at that stage, where the ideas, and that whole bit of confidence. People come to say, it's really good for somebody to do.
Uh-huh.
And actually to say, we have a toddlers group, we have part of what we do, and actually say, actually that's relevant, that's half of it. So to get people in toddler groups to get involved in mental health training would be brilliant. But convincing them, that actually that's what we're talking about, and that's where Swindon's struggling a bit.
Do you not think it would be better to? I mean, one of the things I've noticed is that a lot of it would be better to have a coalition of people involved, because it's everybody from everywhere has got their own followers, haven't they? And so it's. I mean, I don't know. Actually, I was thinking about, because the ISR meeting on Wednesday night was good, but I did actually think that there were a lot of people that probably could have come. I don't know whether you didn't ask them or whether they didn't know about it or whether, I'm just observing, it was quite a sort of limited demographic, I suppose what I was thinking from that is that, you know, if everybody's got limited demographics, it'd be much more sensible to get all the if they're all together. I mean, like that mental health day that I came to. I mean, that was a completely different demographic, wasn't it? It was, how to pull all those people together, because if you're talking about whole church action, that's what you want, isn't it? Not just a group of people who've
the coalition and partnership, absolutely.
So maybe it's this what Eileen was talking about, coming here every couple of months and maybe trying to pull that together and just being a group of people that have the thoughts and push the ideas. But
one way to create the coalition is to come here every couple of months, but to come here intending to bring two other people with us to catch the vision. Well, two people that don't normally come, two people who might be interested who wouldn't normally be in a network. So I think you've just been keeping the network or back to States.
But two other agencies or two other groups, because it's hard to seed it out, isn't it? Hard to get it out there.
And the balance between, a sort of steering group to drive, and then the networking out so that you create a sort of forum and a partnership. If you have different people every time, it's great in communication, but not necessarily as good as getting driving forward the agenda. Mm. So you need a core group of that who will always be up to anybody else coming in, but who'll actually take forward some of the points you've got and let's make them happen.
And just,
we'll put some resources into it. Just to respond to that.
I wondered whether there was somebody from the BCAN steering committee here this morning. But we have a day coming up, half a day, when we're just sort of seeking God for the thing that we need to look at as a committee. And obviously I can't prejudge that. But this whole mental health issue linked with the recession, etc. I think certainly we could, as for fast facilitation, some of these, working in partnership with the NHS or whatever, we could actually be a deliverer of that without too much hassle, because we have the contacts and the networks that we're involved with to publicise some of that.
Yeah.
But in one sense, just hold that thought. I think in many ways, one of the things we talked about in our last meeting was the possibility of the next forum that we need to be looking at, to be setting up. We have a pastoral forum, which does link, I think, similar with that, a homeless forum, local issues forum. It could be that a mental health forum is one of the things that we need to be looking at. And again, not to prejudge that. So it could well be that, and that's going to happen 2 weeks' time. It could well be that we could feed back to the people in this group where we get to on that, and actually just to provide an opportunity for you to feed into that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've still got one slight anxiety about this term, mental health.
I don't like it. Let's talk about mental well-being, or just well-being, actually.
Yes, that's rather than his employees. Yes. I think that well-being, if the Christian story has huge amounts to say to that. Many people still get anxious when they go mental health. Well-being in all its forms, is something that churches can't connect with, and they should be disappearing somewhere quite.
So we're talking about coalition of leaders coming in, just again making it sustainable. So, I mean, it's that line, isn't it? We do need commitment, but as well, we are time poor, as it were. But actually, if we're going to do something, we're going to have to buy in and say we're going to do it even on a rainy day. The bi-monthly coming together, sharing ideas, telling those stories, a place to drive things forward. And then there was talk about advertising for volunteers who've experienced the problems to come forward. Church time banks was one of the other ideas. And maybe just some kind of launch summit where we try and draw leaders together to say, the big question is, what are we going to be? There are these huge questions facing Bristol. What are we going to be? Are we going to bounce off events, or are we going to drive in and shape where we're going?
And I definitely think this isn't something I'd put the wall on, but we've got a three piece starting out. I think maybe just concentrating on the prophetic and the practical, and practical can include pastoral. Mm-hmm. But we've talked a lot about practical, which is great because that's where I'm at. But actually, prophetic, which is addressing the ideologies and also our motivation for where we get our energy from, and why we keep on doing it. And which addresses the political structures as well. I mean, so we have talked a lot about the practical things, setting up time banks and the health for senior people. But there are loads of people in Bristol who could well address the prophetic, who can do public lectures and who can engage with the politicians. And they don't have to be university lecturers either, our church ministers. So we shouldn't neglect. I know we've said it already, we shouldn't neglect that bit of it, the more cerebral stuff.
Yeah. Well, I think that's, a friend of mine is doing his PhD actually in apologetics over in Oklahoma, and that's his sense is that actually many of the social battles take place on university campuses in the ideas, And I think, is it Francis Schaeffer's model? You get the philosophy and the ideas, then it comes into high art, then it comes into popular art, and then it's popular culture. And so actually you do have to have that battle as how we're going to... And my Walter Wink book is, again, I was reading yesterday, he's talking about science giving us a reductionist worldview. So you no longer see yourself in relationship. What you do is you reduce everything down to its component parts and try and understand it, and they become ununderstandable and unrelated, and you, in some sense, we become slaves to this status worldview. So I'm definitely, in fact, maybe we spend, I mean, we've got some ideas we can write down and send out, and we could send out to everyone, couldn't we? Make sure we get everyone's emails and contacts. And if we have a pitch to meet here in a couple of months, you don't want to go away and do nothing. That's the thing. But we want to be organised about doing something, and not just, you know, kind of go away with a chaotic explosion. Although chaotic explosions can be good.
About 5 weeks rather than 2.
Okay.
Yeah, before the holidays.
Well, yeah. So yeah. We don't wait till the autumn.
Yeah.
That's somehow lose the energy that we started. How's that time, do you think?
So
you mean
fix another date before
the
end of July?
Yes,
that's mid-July. I'm a little concerned about the link with the word recession, which is obviously the main word why we're here today. But I think other people have said that they think this recession is a big one, worse than possibly any we've had before. It's also at a time when everybody's concerned about global warming and climate change. And in that context, I'm a little concerned that whether there's an opportunity or whether it's just too ambitious to build a coalition bigger than that. Because there have been a lot of events in the last couple of years in Bristol, and there's a lot of know-how and enthusiasm linked to, for instance, the transition movement, the Schumacher Society, based in Bristol,
which
are quite big.
What are they? I don't know what this transition
is. They both had days at the council house, and I think they both had more than 600 people there on their day.
Is that about sustainability or about...
Transition is looking at what you do after when...
How you
we're,
get
we're
to
peak
when
oil now. Oil is going to decline. Okay. Transition started in Totnes in the UK. It started originally in Ireland. And is now there's now about... Well, in my area, there's about 22 communities. In Devon, there's 60. I mean, around the country, there must be several hundred, many hundred... and it's one particular sort of civil movement which is trying to work locally about local solutions to those issues. Mm-hmm. And obviously it's tapping in, but the churches are not very, very involved in my experience. There are some that are. I've come up with the phrase at the summit, the title of Creating Wellbeing, and I think that would actually incorporate some of the things you're saying, you could have something, I don't know, but you could have something broad enough that would actually, on that day, you are trying, or whatever it is, you're trying to actually say, what are the big things that we need to respond to as churches? And almost having, I haven't got much idea, but I think we've got to go in with an open mind on this one, because if we are trying to get leaders there, I mean, that then dictates what time of day you do it, which day you do it, and that sort of thing. Then I think we don't want to cast it too narrowly, is what sort of you're saying. But I think there is an out element. I don't think we're going to talk about climate change, but I think the way in which thinking again about how communities build, which is the transition bit of the climate change debate, I think there is a real thing there that we might be able to engage people around. This is actually saying, what is our role? What does community mean? Those kind of things. Maybe the broader agenda. Maybe we have to have something fairly broad in order to get this recession agenda. Is because we have evidence to say that not a huge number of people are responding to either this event or other events. So, I mean, what would you say, John? How are you doing on the ground with actually engaging local church leaders on these issues. What was the Swindon experience was designed around church leaders, wasn't it?
It was more broad than that.
Okay.
It was designed by engaging anybody from church.
I don't know. We've got to break, as usual, got to break through a door to make this kind of make them feel this is on their agenda and high enough up that agenda. That's the big issue.
Because there's publicity. I want to hear because you sent something to my husband, and you probably just did a blanket sweep. And yes. because I was already thinking about it, my husband said, "Here, you might be able to." He wasn't.
But surely if we all committed, if we decided that we were going to do it, then we would all need to go and take time. Well, and maybe to go to our church leaders and maybe to go to the other people that we know to maybe, all commit ourselves to getting. I mean, we can offer it. And one of the things we've done with Hope to Place, we actually had an invitation and offered some food, and that does seem to get close to people's, and especially their charge rate. That focuses people's minds on what, because they feel if they've accepted an invitation, they know they're getting food, they can't not come because it's rude.
People have to eat.
Yeah. And if you're tiny and missing onto food, then that really helps some people.
Yeah, it does. You're right.
But I think you do need to unpack. I like your time of creating well-being, but if I got that cold, I wouldn't come.
But that's why we made personal, if we actually ran people up or said, please can you come to this, it's really important.
Yeah.
And we went, we went for the people, the highest up people we could think of.
A friend of mine talks about influencing the influencers. And I think as much as you think, okay, well, inviting people for lunch is a good thing and stuff like that, I think, well, actually, is that a bit of a false economy in terms of actually invite the people who you know already passionate about these kind of things, who think you might be interested, start to work with them because they're the people that you want to bring in and they'll have ideas themselves. So, you talk about creating well-being, but is it a movement for well-being? Is it inviting lots of people to kind of come together? It's a rallying point. It's not just another event or another nice kind of theological debate about stuff. It's about an invitation to get involved, to join and contribute to something, and then we're all moving forward in it. Do you know what I mean?
Well, that is the point. I think if we were to have a summit, it would be you would be bringing everybody there, hoping that they would catch the vision.
Sure, but what's the next point after that? Do you know what I mean? I think when you're at the summit, where are we going next? Always have that overview.
Part of the notion is that I think I agree with you about connecting with people who are passionate. I mean, I haven't struggled with it myself in a year. One of the real realisations has been how bad churches are at working hierarchically. That actually church leaders, in some sense, don't have much influence over churches. You're talking about big hierarchies. They're important in terms of that sort of seismic shifts that take place. But actually, you need to engage with people at a variety of levels who are connected and interested.
Yeah. I don't necessarily think that the influencers necessarily have to be church leaders.
No.
I think that people already engaged in issues, they're people involved and working within organisations and local councils, in projects and initiatives in urban priority areas, they're people already there.
Yeah.
And it's about rallying people together and going, okay, you're doing that, great, well, by the way, somebody else is doing that. And it's creating connection points rather than, when we were talking before about networking, I think, well, that's kind of cool, but is it more about channeling? Is it about intentional movement towards something rather than just, hey, you're doing that, well, that's nice? Does there have to be an intentionality around it?
I think there's an intentionality in it. Yeah. To me, it's, what comes to my mind is, I remember my frustration of going to some of the kind of the evangelical meetings where people say, if you're lonely, come to Jesus. If you're feeling sad, come to Jesus and we'll sort this out. And actually then contrasting that with what Jesus said was, before you come follow me, count the cost. It's not easy. Yeah, my burden is light, but, I was talking to Andy the other night, Andy Padgett, who just said, how we've mistaken Christian victory with Olympic victory, and that kind of Christian victory was not looking like a victory as we recognise it sometimes, and in some sense, in that sense, it's the question. What are we here for? What's our role in a city? Is that a distinct difference? And I ask it about my personal life as well. Am I simply bouncing off events and opportunities that come along, or am I forging a way forward and saying that's my vision and that's where I'm going to go? And to me, that summit is about us as churches. And I think we are an us, isn't it? And maybe even sharing that idea that we are distinct congregations, but we are an us. What are we here for? You know, if we were to ask Barbara Jank now and Jan Ormondjoyd, what's the church for in Bristol? Would they know? Would they have an answer to that? And if they don't, some of that would be down to their perception of the church, and some of that would be their bag, but some of it would be our bag too. If you asked him Martin Luther King's, I know he's my hero here, but if you'd have asked people what's the church about in the 60s, people probably would have had, you know, they would have different answers, but people would have said, yeah, it's about civil rights, about social justice, it's about this. And I'm not saying we don't have any of those badges. Clearly, there is some fantastic stuff going on and that, but as a church, what are we in the city? Are we just a cathedral that's a building with disparate groups that are racially fractured and class divided? Or are we
primarily as well a worshipping community rather than a social movement now, or a community movement? I think the thing about the 60s and, you know, all the link, the massive link between civil rights and the church, I think we're quite a long way from that mostly now.
And
I don't think people are seeing it mostly as a place of social organisation, really.
And in terms of, I tell you a lovely story as well about that. It's the story that Jim Wallace tells about that. Every time they went to do some protest sitting, they started in the church. They would start in the church with prayer and worship, and then come out of the church to engage with the powers, as it were. I was a lot, you know.
Well, beautiful. I was in Poland in the 80s, and exactly that.
There's two funders, Christians, political protest has always started with worship. And
it's worship and justice,
and
isn't it?
Moves, you know, the two go together.
It's really, yeah, we haven't done that recently in Bristol, I don't think. That might
no, well,
be, you know, it's really interesting.
Was a, you know, that was a very much combined, yeah. It was a across the board, but it was facilitated by Christian groups in many places.
Mm. Which was this movie?
Big Poverty History in 2005. Mm.
It's the most recent example we have of that kind of mass mobilisation. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And and for that we've got to be very grateful for Gordon Brown and many others, you know.
Mm-hmm. Same with Jubilee 2000 as well.
Sorry,
Jubilee 2000.
Yeah, I mean the two kind of ran. Yeah, I mean, you know, they're both were sitting around some issues.
Yeah. What are we doing?
So what are we just to capture what we just did? So are we saying that there must be an emphasis on whatever our action draws its energy from? Worship. I mean, if you reduce it to one sentence, we need to remember that this
we need to link them back together again, because often what happens is the people that Coase was talking about who are passionate are doing it under the church's name or in the church's name, but it's not so closely linked to the lifeblood of the church, which is the gospel and the worshipping life of the community. I think that's the bit we could do with reconnecting together. Maybe that's going to happen through the kind of, you know, like you said, with your midweek church. I mean, maybe it's the house groups sometimes that do make. There's the thing called Transforming Communities, which Cotton and a few others do, where you're expected to do everything. You know, you're supposed to build community, pray together, and then act together in mission. You know, those kind of models. There are some quite useful models around, but I mean, it is the sort of thing you can get Mike Hill to do. If you briefed him properly, he could probably do quite a good job. Sorry, the Bishop of Bristol. You know, in terms of getting, if you were doing a summit, you could probably get him. Obviously, we need you as well. But I mean, in terms of getting a, yeah, you know. But I do think
Martin Michael.
If you really, if you pushed him to really say something, I mean, you know, beyond what he said at ISR the other night, I think there would be a possibility. But we may need to go even higher than that. I mean, maybe we need to go national.
I think we've got 5 minutes left since we've been to spend the time praying.
Yeah,
that's right.
Please.
And I think perhaps we can do a summary of this morning.
Yeah.
Well, I got to set a date, Caroline.
Yeah, it was a Saturday.
I got some notes. If I send them to
if you made notes, if you can email them to me, and I'll try and collect them into some sort of balanced viewpoint.
Who are you talking to?
everyone.
If you have any thoughts,
yeah,
just bang them in an email and send them to Cos and we'll collect them together.
Or any stories.
So we are the second week of June, so about 5 weeks from now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 is around about the 11th, 18th, 25th.
I would go for the 25th person rather than anybody else knows about that. It's okay for me.
I think it's okay for me.
Oh, I'm still hearing more shit. I'll get
somebody else to my group to come and tell us.
Is
that because of the wedding? Because you can't do it?
Yes. It's not a wedding day. I have a restricted level of time commitment to this, and I've obviously got my up front about the start of our project, and so I'm here because the others couldn't manage today, and I'm sure that somebody else will be able to come.
Great.
So.
Well, we did touch on the prophetic, so I'm pleased.
But this is,
sorry, go
ahead. I just want about the day of the week, I don't know whether it's a
Saturday.
Yeah, I don't know whether that's a good one.
It's not bad for pastors.
I think Saturdays.
Well, I work, so.
Yeah, no, that's the always the. Let's stick with that.
But if we come back, it's only going to be for us, isn't it? So maybe one or two extra,
yeah.
Just to think about, because we couldn't do anything anyway, because everybody's got their mind on their summer holidays.
Yeah.
I've got a wedding on that day, so I'm probably need to.
It doesn't have to be that.
No, we can
18.
Go the week before. 18th?
How does that suit people?
The 18th is a bad Saturday for me because I've been invited to a wedding.
Yeah. If the 25th works, go for the 25th.
I can take notes.
That'd be great. In my diary, I just call it the well-being movement because I can't think of anything else. So,
You can collect 2 hours or something, or 1.5 hours.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be that long, does it really?
Yeah,
do we want to try and find this venue again?
It seems to cause trouble for people.
I suggest
a good sign on the door saying cafe closed, big sign up there.
We're not used to cafe signs, that's the problem. That we use the cafe signs, so if you put our sign on top of the cafe sign which says cafe open, it's not a good idea.
Oh, we'll talk to Tim.
Yeah, I mean, so this event is open, that event probably less so.
9 to 11 sort of time?
Yeah.
9:30 to 11:30.
9 to 11.
Isn't the city centre the best
place?
It's
fine for me.
Okay. Do people have to find parking? I cycled it.
I could ask about Hope's Prayer Centre.
Yeah.
Actually, that would be good.
I think that'd be
enough. Yeah, I'll ask Cope.
Is that parking easier there? But you can cycle there as well, it's not much further.
No, it's next to Hotwell's Primary School.
And I think actually when we talk about you know, starting with the right intention, placing ourselves deliberately in a place of that's been set aside for prayer and consecration would be almost a symbolic good start.
Right, this is default. If we can't get hosts, we make it here, so we'd have to go around the road, but that's fine. Yeah.
Okay.
Should we just play quickly?
Yeah.
That's right. Mark, when everyone's finished praying, do you want to close the meeting?
Yeah, sure. Thank you.
increasing because you're a God who is cares about this world and cares about people and cares about people in every area of their lives, and also because your whole heart is towards intervention and intervening and getting stuck in there. We praise you, Lord God, for the vision that we all have, that we've come together because of a vision and an idea that there are opportunities for change, that this crisis is an opportunity for something new. We pray, Lord, that your hand would be in this, that you would lead us, that it wouldn't be of ourselves, but that you would empower it and that you would lead it and that you would give blessing to it, so that your name will be glorified and so that people's lives might be changed for the better. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, your call to us is to love justice and mercy and to walk humbly on that path of discipleship. So we pray that your Spirit may sustain us and keep us on that route. Fill us with the hope of things better, with indignation at things that are unjust and wrong, with anger and passion to respond and do something about it. So stir us, Lord, and keep us focused on where and how we can build your kingdom, not just individually, but together as your people here in this place. Amen.
Do pray for your vision, Lord, that well, we start by just committing our ideas and our plans and plans to you, praying that in that mysterious circle that the things that are coming from us are from out of our mouth, they are from you, and we commit them back to you. We say that even where it's beyond our understanding, we want to be the fullness of the church. We want to know, we want to be living as you want the church to live, to be effective as you want us to be. Now, whether that makes us palatable or unpalatable in our world, Lord, we want to be the fullness of what we are supposed to be in your name. But do give us that vision, give us the passion, keep us safe as we go from here, and just aware, Lord, you know, we're talking about things that seem immediate and direct, but we're also touching on some of the big questions. So, and in many ways dealing with principalities and powers that many people that would be disturbed by us thinking and beginning to stand up and pray about our standing up. So we commit ourselves to you, we put ourselves in your hands, we ask to be under your leadership, we pray for our church and we pray for our leaders. Anyway. Mm-hmm.